Whether in Buffalo Gap or Buffalo Springs, Fort Belknap or Fort Chadburn, or Sweetwater or Sweet Home, for the news of Texas, the source is Pratt on Texas. Here's your Texas anchorman, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis, all done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, avian or bird flu found in Texas. It's not actually new. A dairy worker has it. It's a mild illness. Some cows have it. That's a new thing we've already talked about in the last week or so. And now poultry have it. Now, any panic related to this should simply be one of economic loss for the agriculture producers. But the reliable media, reliable always to want to panic you, is out to scare people as always. You know, crisis sells news, and being in a state of crisis leads to chaos, and it's how the left advances their program all of the time. Talk about that. Create a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. Allied Compliance Services sponsors our Lone Star story of the day. Texas economy again grows faster than the nation's economy, and the March sales tax report is a good one. Abbott's raising money in Manhattan and New York City, Rick Perry's self-destruction of his political legacy in Texas, and more in the political stack. I've got a story on sort of what grand jurors have to deal with. I think you will enjoy that. And a lot of other things in the stack. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Oh, by the way, I mentioned yesterday, sometime, and I think I'm going to do it this week, I'm going to give away another $25 gift certificate to Narrow Bar in Lubbock. That is the really sophisticated but casual, they like to say. It's just really nice, but very affordable. One of the best priced lunch spots in town. It's at 1500 Broadway, the old First National Bank building in downtown Lubbock. It's not an old building, it's one of the nicest buildings in Lubbock. It's McDougal Plaza now. It's in the old banking offices with those giant windows and looking out over Broadway. It's really nice. So be listening sometime this week. I will, if I don't forget or get pushed out by news load, I will give away another gift certificate worth $25 for our listeners in Lubbock, listening to our Lubbock affiliate, Walk by Faith Radio 98.7 or 987radio.com, the stream, 1420 AM. Had a lot of hail in Texas yesterday. I know that Todd McWilliams at Elite Custom Boat Docks in the big country was getting golf ball-sized hail. By the way, summer's almost upon us. You know, get that. They build the best boat docks all across the big country and make your time profitable, you know, where you really do get to relax and enjoy and maybe have a slide and stuff for the kids and everything. Talk to them at Elite Custom Boat Docks. I know they were getting golf ball-sized hail there yesterday evening, and hit a lot of places. I mean, large hail slams into Texas was a headline in the Express News. Cold weather swept across where you had all that moisture and warm weather. You had big hail. You had very large hail hitting San Antonio, just really all across North Texas. Multiple people were hurt in a big crash that came from this, a pileup involving as many as 30 vehicles at an intersection south of Midland. I'm assuming this was in Upton County, State Highway 349, just before 5 o'clock. The wind, the dust was blowing so bad you couldn't see. People should understand, if you can't see, other people can't see you. That's one of the things that a lot of people never seem to master. Or they think because they can see everybody else, other people can't, you know, that they can be seen. They don't put their lights on and stuff. But anyway, a lot of damage there south of Midland and Upton County. Refinery fire in the panhandle at the Phillips 66 plant that we told you about yesterday injured two employees at the refinery in Borger. The blaze was extinguished in less than 2 hours. A man brought a runaway teen to Waco where she was sexually assaulted, then dropped off in Louisiana, according to an affidavit. Now, this story from KWTX is just an example. I use it as an example of the trafficking that goes on. When we hear this term, I mean, you got a bust of these folks that were doing prostitution in massage parlors all over eastern New Mexico and Lubbock and West Texas. That's been in local news. People tend to think of that. They don't realize that human slavery is also a big thing. And they also don't think in terms of all of just the rape and stuff like that that goes on. Kayshun Russell, 34, is charged with trafficking of persons, a felony. He brought a runaway teenager to Waco, where she was sexually assaulted for days. Drove her to Shreveport. This 15-year-old ran away from home in Cleburne. Yeah, she shouldn't have run away from home. She's 15 years old. She apparently got in the vehicle with this guy, because I'm sure he said, hey, you want to ride? She's vulnerable at that point. And she ran away with him. She's with him for 10 days, in which time he sexually assaulted her every morning and night, including for a stay in Waco. This stuff is going on all around us. Evil is persistent and widespread, my friends. Uvalde's newly elected mayor, elected back in November, Cody Smith, has abruptly resigned. And he had served as mayor from 2008 to 2012. He was reelected in the special election. The mayor then ran and won the primary for state rep. And he beat the one the press was all for, the mother of one of the children, terrible. The mother lost a child there that has parlayed this into being a big politician and gun control advocate. And he beat her. The community didn't want to go down that road. And now he's had to resign. He says it's health reasons. Man arrested for hacking TV station, issuing false emergency alerts. This is very serious stuff. You end up with dealing with federal felonies. A man from Ponder apparently was arrested. I saw this reported at, KOXE? Is that the station in Brownwood and the Brownwood Bulletin? And then K-Texas in Abilene had the story too. Way to go, Felicity Neptune. The Michael Andrew Smith apparently hacked into TV station Harris Broadband and sent alerts claiming to be from the Emergency Broadcasting Network. Throughout that afternoon in March of 21, he sent alerts to Harris Broadband viewers claiming there was a threat at a nearby nuclear power plant and recommended evacuation. The TV station folks notified the police of the illegal transmissions. The cyber response team from A&M was called in to investigate. They notified the FBI, and then they found this guy, Smith, who was 20 years old at the time. He admitted, they say, in an interview, to hacking into the system and sending alerts. You know, what kind of people are we when these people, a 20-year-old, thinks that's okay and couldn't cause massive harm? Boy, there's serious laws, though, when you're dealing with FCC-regulated broadcasting and the emergency alert system. Truck driver had prohibited CDL, failed multiple drug tests for a fatal bus crash. Now, we learned, like, over the weekend that guy that swerved over and hit the school bus that killed two people, that he said, I think there were stories saying he had admitted to using cocaine and all kinds of things. What we see in that case of that Hayes ISD school bus that killed the 5-year-old boy and the 33-year-old man in another car, that this guy had failed multiple drug tests and had a, quote, prohibited, end quote, commercial driver's license at the time of the crash. Jerry Hernandez, 43, he's been charged. He's going to be in jail. He told troopers he smoked marijuana and used cocaine and only slept 3 hours before the crash. His employer, FJM Concrete, they say failed to look, in this KSAT report, said they failed to look up his drug test record and properly vetted him when they hired him. Now, why do you think we talk about Allied Compliance Services? This concrete company is probably ended. Because, let me explain, they have insurance. Yeah, and the first people to sue are going to be the insurance company. They will file to not cover their customer. All of you naive people, that's what insurance companies do all the time in big cases, even some smaller ones. They'll sue to not cover, and they'll say because these people were negligent, they didn't even bother to look up his drug testing, or that his license was bad or something. So that business will probably be out of business. Don't let that happen to you. Our Lone Star Story of the Day sponsor, Allied Compliance Services, can help you. AlliedCompliance.com. Back in a moment.
Wish to comment on a story? Send an email. Visit the contact page at PrattOnTexas.com or join the listener club and get that direct to Pratt email address.
Many have heard my Pratt on Texas broadcast from the offices of Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica. Over a decade, many listeners have acted to save money while getting the highest level of dental care available. I'm not kidding about the trip being like a free vacation. In many cases, two of you can fly, stay, dine, shop, and take adventures to beaches, rainforests, volcanoes, and more, and have top quality dental work done for less than just the dental work for only one person at home. Turn that unpleasant expense into a memorable adventure. Click on the Dental Care banner at PrattOnTexas.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stCenturyWatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stCenturyWatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Those of you listening in New Mexico and Oklahoma, we know you're all closet Texans at heart. Welcome to Pratt on Texas. Now, here's the man himself, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Avian or bird flu has been found in Texas. A dairy worker has it. It's a mild illness. Some cows have it. We talked about that last week as that news broke. Now poultry have it. That's bad. And any panic about this should be about the economic loss and rising prices it causes. The economic loss for agriculture folks involved in it. But the reliable media, reliable to try to scare people's out there doing their job as always. Now, the breaking news today was that Ag Commissioner Sid Miller confirms the Calmaine Foods poultry facility in Farwell. That's just up the road toward, right on the New Mexico border. By the way, they have a great little golf course there. Right on the border of New Mexico by Clovis, Farwell is just on up the road towards the west, northwest from Muleshoe, that they've had positive tests for avian flu at the Calmaine Foods poultry facility in Farwell. It's H5N1 virus. Been around a long time, folks, over 20 years. They'll have to depopulate. That means they're going to have to destroy 1.6 million laying hens and 337,000 pullets at the Farwell facility. That's 3.6% of their total flock as of March 2nd. These are huge economic losses. They cause our egg prices to go up and all kinds of things. Production at that facility has temporarily ceased. This happens to folks in the poultry business. And Sid Miller's right. Commissioner Miller, this is absolutely devastating news for Calmaine and the entire Panhandle region, which has already suffered so much. Given this latest development, all producers must practice heightened biosecurity measures. Rapid spread of the virus means we must act quickly, although there's not a lot we can do other than, you know, trying not to just take procedures not to let it be transmitted. Poultry, you know, the cows have a sign of being sick that have gotten it in the dairies. Poultry often have no signs at all, or just a little sneezing, chicken sneezing and decreased feed consumption, maybe some ruffled feathers. Commissioner Miller said producers need to work with us and report cases right away. Transparency is going to be key, and that's true. You got to get on this stuff right away. Now, the big news stories out yesterday, and Politico was the one that broke the first one, and really, they didn't break much. I have the story here. It's the press release. Texas Department of State Health Services reports first human case of avian influenza in Texas. It's a patient experienced eye inflammation as the only symptom. Was tested for the flu last week. This is a dairy worker that worked at one of the dairies. It's extraordinarily rare for this to spread to humans. They say it's the second case, according to the CDC, of H5N1 flu in the U.S. and the first linked to exposure in cattle. It usually infects wild birds and can spread to domestic birds and other animals. Occasionally it infects people, though it's extremely rare for it to be transferred from person to person. Initial testing shows the virus hadn't changed to make it more likely to spread, and it's a very mild thing. But here you go. Politico had two writers on it yesterday, and all these news outfits picked it up. First human case of avian flu in Texas raises alarm. Really? Well, yeah, because people want to be frightened. They want to be scared. They always want. This is how the left plays you, ladies and gentlemen. Now, nobody here is saying the professionals in the business don't track these things and consider them, do the data, and be prepared. Of course. But that's not what's going on here. I've been through this so much in my life, it shocks me when I'm around people my age or older who have been through every bit of this diet or that diet and this food's going to kill you. Even the doctor's telling you, and then it turns out 25 years later, it was all wrong. If you've been along around just 50 years, you should have been through these cycles so much that you understand just to ignore a lot of this stuff, most of it. All the diets and the foods and all. It's just a never-ending back and forth. You know, back in the early 50s and through the 50s, the U.S. government paid for ads telling us we need more cholesterol in our diets. I mean, there's just all kinds of things. But what I'm getting to here is the scare over flu. I've heard this my whole life. Go research it. We've had real human flu outbreaks that killed, you know, millions of people over and over. We've had lots of others that were fairly mild relatively. And they always get trumped up. And in today's media, they just go nuts. In the headline, this case of avian flu raises alarm. Really? Now, I'm going to give you some select parts of the big story at Politico and demonstrate to you how this is all, even to some degree, self-contradicting. This is how you stack a media story. It shocks me that other people don't notice these things every time they hear a story or read a story, but I can tell you how it's written. You can deconstruct it and see how you do this, and it's a template almost, if not literally a template in some news organizations. Rush used to talk about that, you know, women and children hit hardest and all that, and the AP and everybody. Okay, so they get down here in the second graph. It's only the second human case of H5N1 ever recorded in the country. It's worrying public health experts who for decades have cautioned that avian flu could pose a serious threat. So that's their job. It's not worrying them. It's their job to observe. And so 20 years we've had this avian flu, more than 20 years. So what if they're worried? There's nothing they can do about it. And then they say, and there's no evidence that it's been. Now, the next paragraph, though, is there's just no evidence. It's worrying everybody. Raises alarm. But there's no evidence it's being spread among humans. The illness is mild and the workers expected to recover. You go two or three more graphs down. The new human case follows recent cow infections in Texas, Idaho, Michigan, and New Mexico that have raised alarm among public health experts. Notice the no evidence to back it up earlier, but you notice the repetition of the phrase. That's raised alarm among public health experts who worry the virus spread to mammals could make it easier, except it's always, anyway. And then here you go. Every single time is a little bit of Russian roulette, said veteran public health expert Ashish Jha, J-H-A, who led the Biden administration's COVID-19 response. No more comment needed there. And then you get down here from this press release from the actual experts they tell us to listen to. Initial testing has not found changes to the virus that would make it more transmissible to humans. The CDC, the FDA, and the United States Department of Agriculture said in a press release, while cases among humans in direct contact with infected animals are possible, this indicates that the current risk to the public remains low. And what do you expect comes next? Yeah, the big but, because you need to worry, because you laugh, you're all going to die, and you need us and the government to protect you. Yeah, they don't use the word but, they use the word still. Very good little mutation to the template. Still, senior White House officials are closely monitoring the evolving situation, with the Office of Pandemic Preparedness receiving regular updates. Ooh. And then they point out the U.S. has a stockpile of vaccines against the avian flu, but it's not effective. They approved it in 2007. It only reduces the risk by 45%. And frankly, the symptoms of it are so benign in most all people that have ever had it that it's just not a big deal in this country and in the West. But you get down here, they've got another person from the World Vaccine Congress in Washington. Just because of being on edge from COVID, there are a lot of people looking at what's going on here. There's probably a pretty low threshold to pull the trigger here. What he's saying is, for the government to act and panic you know, maybe it's another pre-election thing. Who knows? Then you get further in the political piece. The three government agencies said there's no concern about the safety of the commercial milk supply because pasteurization, which heats milk to a temperature that kills the virus. But Rick Bright, who led the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority and raised alarm about Trump's early handling of COVID. See, he's one of those guys. They would have to do a lot of testing before I'd drink milk from one of these farms at this point, which is stupid. Because viral, this is something we've tracked for a long time. What he is he's a reporter's reliable go-to panic source. And then you got an epidemiologist at Johns Hopkins, Caitlin Rivers saying, I don't necessarily suspect the case because I don't think the cows are particularly like humans in that way. She was a CDC. But anytime epidemiology of a virus changes, it makes me listen more closely. And what they begin with? Well, we got to know whether that virus changed in a way that makes it more spreadable to humans. Except earlier in the story, they repeated that's not the case. And then they have another big quote. The bigger picture is this virus is not cooling off, said Jennifer Nuzzo, director of the Pandemic Center at Brown University School of Public Health. We've been worried about this virus for 20 years, more than 20 years. Right. Self-defeating argument there. Anyway, my friends, it's all the panic stuff. Back in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
It may sound impossible, but Isabel and I have done it, having big fun while going to the dentist. Dr. Sylvia Zuniga's practice in Costa Rica is personal with the highest level of service and quality I've experienced for anything. Her office is near most of the embassies and a place perfect for walking and enjoying the wonderful weather. If you want top dental work at amazingly affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
Architects, builders, owners, Texas Government Code 3100.055, our flag code, specifies that when the Texas flag and the U.S. flag are flown at the same location on separate poles or staffs, the Texas flag is to fly at the same height as the national flag. Respect Texas, our flag code, and our culture. Stop setting poles and staffs lower than the national standard flies. The Texas flag is to fly at the same height as the U.S. flag when on separate poles or staffs. Protect Texas. Do it right, please.
It's the real talk of Texas with the authentic accent thrown in free. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. The Texas economy again expands faster than that of the nation. Governor Abbott pointing out today that the Bureau of Economic Analysis shows Texas economy again growing faster than the nation as a whole. In the fourth quarter of this last year, real gross domestic product for Texas grew at an annual rate of 5%, well ahead of the U.S. for the sixth quarter in a row. He pointed out that we're outpacing the nation. Preliminary estimates also show that real GDP for Texas grew over the full year of 2023 at an annual rate of 5.7%. Again, well ahead of the nation as a whole, which grew at 2.5%, so more than double. We're outpacing the nation last year more than double. Real GDP is the value of all goods and services produced, and of course, we're also the undisputed job leader. Now, the comptroller released the totals for the state sales tax report for March, which is mostly sales made in February. Hager said the sales tax revenue totaled $3.78 billion. That's 5.8% more than March of last year. Hager said monthly state sales tax collections solidly exceeded collections from last March. Collections from sectors that have been increasing compared with a year ago continued to show strength, and receipts from some sectors that had been lagging saw gains. They go into the details on that in the report at the comptroller's office, but that's good. Total sales tax, though, for the quarter ending in March, the first quarter of the year was up 1.1% compared with the same period a year ago. Now, and all this good news, and it is good. I mean, even if things are bad, you want to be the least bad. We're growing. But 1.1% increase in the first quarter for sales tax receipts for state and local government is below the inflation rate. So that's actually going backwards. Something that it's obvious a lot of people in their personal finances can't understand. You know, if you put it in the bank and you got $10,000 saved up and you're getting interest on it for 2% annualized interest, but inflation's at 2.1%, you're losing a tenth of a percent of your purchasing power every single year. I mean, you know, and it's usually the spread's much greater than that. All right, let's get into this, some of these political news items. I've got kind of a story that, to me, it's a bad story, but it's kind of a fun story I want to be able to get to in the last segment. So let's dive right in. Governor Greg Abbott to fundraise in New York City amid border feud with Mayor Eric Adams. Jeremy Wallace, the political writer for the Houston Chronicle, the Hearst Papers, framed the whole story that Abbott is in Manhattan for a big GOP fundraiser. It's not a fundraiser for him. Is really all about fighting with New York City Mayor Adams, although, who knows, the New York Republican Party invited Abbott to keynote their New York City fundraising gala. And sure, they're gonna go at the local Democrats in it. Jeremy Wallace turned nothing into a very long story on that. I guess the news part is Abbott's in Manhattan Thursday, I think, this week for a big fundraiser. Texas House GOP caucus dinner, this is down in Austin, turns ugly as Chairman Leach presses caucus chair in waiting, in other words, the chairman-elect, Oliverson, to support, you know, crappy incumbents, embattled incumbents in these runoffs. That's what sources told the inside the Capitol gossip rag run by far leftist Scott Braddock and Harvey Kronberg, Quorum Report. They say that... others resigned as caucus chair when they announced for speaker. Well, so what? Okay, some others did in the past. You don't gripe about the last two speakers, the last three speakers that got elected with Democrat influence, and the last one who did so against the caucus rule that we won't get elected with Democratic influence. So, you know, Oliverson has no obligation to resign from his position in the caucus. And he doesn't want to. He says he won't quit his leadership position. But here's the problem in the dinner. They had this caucus dinner. I mean, it's the caucus from Austin is what I mean. They had the dinner in Fort Worth, or the Dallas-Fort Worth, somewhere over there. Anyway, they said it became heated over whether Oliverson will endorse embattled incumbents. Why should he do that? Why should he do that? Have the mainstream establishment leaders in this outfit and end up with the power positions supported the conservative candidates always? Have they supported conservatives who were far conservatives who objected to leadership? No. They put them in the back row and at the back mic and they defecate all over them politically. So this is a much ado about nothing. And it's typical of how these insiders try to frame it. Well, Oliverson's doing something wrong. No, he isn't. There's no rule that says you got to do that. Well, it's wrong. Others did it. Okay. But there is an actual caucus rule that you can't be, that you're not to be elected speaker with outside influence. And yet Phelan and the one before him and the one before that all announced a huge set of Democrat supporters going in and were elected because of that, because they only needed a few people in the caucus to get elected then, so everybody had to jump on board or be on the outs with the speaker. You bunch of fakes. You people at the Quorum Report, you're just so transparently lefty and bad and power-worshipping. It's just sickening to read your stuff. And people that have Scott Braddock on their shows to talk and tell his side are just a tool of the enemy, an absolute tool. People who have these people on and claim to be conservatives are tools of the enemy, because that publication and those people exist to spin everything in a way to hurt Republicans. And since we're the majority now, and they're big lefty Democrats, since we're the majority and they know that's the case, what they do is they spin everything to empower the leftists in the party, the left of center Republicans or the moderates, and to the expense of conservatives. So, you know, it's bad stuff. There was a very interesting piece written by Daniel Greer, and it popped up at the Texas Scorecard, and it very much fits a little bit of my sadness about what I've seen from Rick Perry since he left the White House, serving in the White House, you know, as energy secretary. Governor Perry had he's the longest serving governor in Texas history. It comes at a time of transition. He redid after 100 years. His political legacy in Texas politics is amazing, because he made what's constitutionally one of the weakest governors, executive branches in the state, in the nation, into one of the most powerful. just by being good at politics. And this piece by Daniel Greer says Rick Perry's dwindling political influence in Texas. Once an imposing figure in state politics is watching his stature wane as he works to cash in on his remaining political currency, you know, he's lobbying for the gambling industry. What'll be next? The drugs? Who knows? I don't know. But it goes on and talks about how he in 2023 and 2024 and how he's doing all this. And then all these, you know, with Karl Rove and others, all these bad endorsements, and they've been bad all through the last couple of election cycles. And he looks at it in that sense, and he does a good job of documenting it. But as somebody that's always liked my fellow West Texan Rick Perry from rural Texas, he's not from rural. Rural is R-U-L-E. That's where they fly the flag proudly. He's from rural, Paint Creek, Texas. Not even a town, not even a thing called a town where I'm from, out in the middle of the country. I admire Rick Perry. I knew him fairly well. I mean, you know, political acquaintances, not a personal friend or anything, but certainly around Rick Perry a lot for a very long period of time. And I admire him. He did incredible things. Did I agree with him on everything? No. I was interested to see this piece because what I've been thinking is that this is self-imposed destruction of his own legacy in Texas. And I've been watching it for 2 years, and I've been wondering what's behind it, and I pretty well know. He likes running with the wealthy boys and the big boys, and he's going to do whatever it takes to be in that line and live that lifestyle. And I understand it is just even to the point that he's destroying his own legacy.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
Save money, time, and avoid days, even weeks of stress. Don't trash a perfectly good laptop because a keyboard screen or other part like an internal battery has a problem. Jeff Barker Computer Service can fix it. No minimum charge, free estimates. Keep your computer running without the extreme hassle, risk, and expense of changing machines. Ask Jeff Barker Computer Service what it'll take to repair, restore, or upgrade your existing computer. Visit jbcs.com. jbcs.com for Jeff Barker Computer Service.
A bank with a triple threat. Now that's interesting. New Lubbock Leadership, a new branch in Palm Beach, Florida, and a checking account that offers 5.25% annual percentage yield. That's right, a checking account with rates like a CD from a bank that's been blocking out for you for over a century. That's smart. Vista Smart. Vista Bank, Texas owned and operated since 1912. Member FDIC.
Make your time on the lake or pond the best it can be with an Elite Custom Boat Dock from EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Elite Custom Boat Docks, right here in the big country, is the creator of the coolest, most fun, and functional boat docks around. Imagine enjoying time with a slide, trampoline, and even diving spot on your boat or even jet ski dock. See examples of these custom creations at EliteCustomBoatDocks.com. Make your time count with the best boat dock on the lake with EliteCustomBoatDocks.com.
It's Texas that matters most on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, my friends. A lot of sports today, sports-related things, and today in Texas history, sponsored by Hub City Title, Lubbock's local title company with over 220 years of combined experience. If you live in Lubbock, use them. They're reliable and responsive with fast turnaround. They have in-house title examiners. Learn all about Lubbock's premier title and escrow company, HubCityTitle.com. In 1869, on the 2nd of April, Spanish General Alonso de León's expedition found the remains of Fort St. Louis, or St. Louis, as we would say, the French fort, in East Texas, 1689. Now, all the rest of them today are related to sports. In 1932, William Pickett passed away. He was a native of Travis County. He was the first black honoree in the National Rodeo Hall of Fame. William Pickett. It's also the day that golf guru Harvey Pinnock died. 29 years ago, April 2nd, 1995, the legendary golf instructor Harvey Pinnock died in Austin at the age of 90. Was he not? Yeah, 90. In the 1930s, he began recording his observations about the game in a red scribble text notebook. You know, you stick in your pocket. Though it was intended strictly as a teaching aid, he decided to confide its contents to writer Bud Schrake. The result was Harvey Pinnock's Little Red Book, published 1992, the all-time best-selling sports book, that remained on the New York Times bestseller list for 54 weeks. There followed two more books with Shrake, instructional tapes, a teaching facility named in Pinnock's honor, and three lines of golf clubs. He was inducted in both the Texas Golf Hall of Fame in 1979 and the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 1984, was the PGA's first National Teacher of the Year in 1989, received a posthumous resolution in the Texas House of Representatives in 1995, and it's the all-time selling sports book of all time, Harvey Pinnock's Little Red Book. I got to, last session when we were down doing the show, I got to take part of one day and play golf at the course that he wrote most of those notes on. There used to be Austin Country Club. It's now a municipal course and a very nice one with extraordinarily nice people that unusual to some of these places are actually really glad to have your business. And a famous horse won at Aqueduct on the eve of his trainer's death in the 2nd of April, 1969, 55 years ago today. Heartland, the last horse trained by famed Texas trainer Maximilian Justice Hirsch, won at Aqueduct. Hirsch died the next day. He was a native of Fredericksburg, ran away from home at the age of 12 to become a jockey. He knew what it's like Rush talking about knowing what he wanted to do since he was a child. After riding 123 winners in 1,117 races, he trained horses from 1902 until his death, working with such famous racers as Grey Lag, Sarazen, Dawn Play, and High Gun. At the King Ranch Stables, he trained three Kentucky Derby winners, Bold Venture, Assault, and Middle Ground. Assault went on to capture the Triple Crown. Hirsch was elected to the Texas Sports Hall of Fame in 1970. So we remember William Pickett, golf guru Harvey Pinnock, and the famed jockey and trainer Maximilian Justice Hirsch in this day in Texas history, sponsored by Hub City Title, hubcitytitle.com. I mark this piece up as the stuff grand jurors get to deal with if you're on the right kind of grand jury. Sounds straightforward at first until, again, like that story on the bird flu, you start breaking down the story and you start thinking, oh my, how is this going to be? Because a lot of it just doesn't, it all seems contradictory. I kind of like it. I don't like the rap music, because there is very little musicianship in it. I like music, almost all, jazz, you name it, country, all real as musicianship. There is a little rap that does, but most of it doesn't. It's all just about a rhythm, and a lot of it's computer-generated now. But here's the headline from KWTX. I got something gangsta for you, gangster. Waco man accused of threatening ex with AK-47-style weapon because she was listening to rap music. And I was like, hey, oh, good. But seriously, it's an interesting story. This Dominic Reyna is out on bond after being arrested on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. And by the way, he's got a record, so it was, you know, so much for you gun control people. It was very illegal for him to possess a firearm, and he had a bunch of them, and he had arrest warrants out. He's accused, they say in this story, of threatening his ex-girlfriend with a short-barreled AK-47-style weapon while warning her, I got something gangster for you. Threat was made March 28th, allegedly. Police gave at the scene and learned Reyna pointed the weapon at his ex because he was upset that she was listening to rap music. Now, listen to how this is. Remember, it's his ex-girlfriend. Okay, how does he know she's... Well, listen to him. She's listening to rap music, resulting in the victim running out of the apartment naked while calling for help. Now, if she's his ex-girlfriend, what's she doing naked with him in the apartment? Oh, it gets more contradictory in the general context of who's responsible for what kind of crime. Witnesses at the scene told officers they saw Reyna chasing after a naked woman. Police spotted him. He ran away and briefly barricaded himself inside the apartment. But he's the ex. Officers learned that Reyna had a previous family violence conviction, was prohibited from owning a weapon or being in possession of a firearm. The victim, the naked woman that runs out of the house naked, or the apartment naked, said that she had an on and off relationship with him for 5 to 6 years, and she was staying with him because she had just been released from jail. Now, wait a minute. Okay, so she's just getting out of jail. He's her ex. But she's staying in his apartment voluntarily because she'd just gotten out of jail. How's it an ex when it's an on and off? Sounds like it's back on to me, and she's naked in there with him. I mean, if it's the ex and they're not back together, what's she doing naked? Naked, as we say in West Texas. She says he came home drunk and was upset because she's listening to rap music. That I understand. And he warned her he'd show her what a real gangster was. He took out a large gun out of his closet and pointed it at her. So she's in his house. Can't you tell somebody you don't want that playing in your house? She's naked, so something else is going on. Why's she naked when he comes in? He admitted to police he had 3 firearms in the apartment. He's released after posting bond. McLennan County. You know, this is the stuff grand jurors have to deal with a lot. You get in this and it's pretty clear, okay, he's in possession of a firearm, he shouldn't have it, fine. But there are so many other cases where it sounds like, in the way it's reported to us, it sounds like somebody is really bad and they're doing all kinds. And then you get in there and you realize, now, wait a minute. There's human responsible agency that goes all the way around, like, you know, claiming something terrible. This happened, blah, blah, blah. You know, never mind you went out voluntarily and got yourself drunk or high so that you know that you're not in control of your actions and what happens to you. You voluntarily do this, voluntarily go with somebody. Does that excuse their sin? No. But I don't buy into that feminist line we were taught at one time. Well, you have no responsibility. Certainly you do. You have a responsibility for the situations in which you find yourself. You know, it's kind of hard. Many people, including family members, have sat on grand juries. Years ago, a friend of mine sat on one in Lubbock that met every week and dealt with certain kind of criminal cases that often involved Texas Tech students. He said, you wouldn't believe how many people come in here and swear out affidavits and lie. It's clear they lie. Everything about their story is sort of like this. Oh, what? An ex, and he's going after her. Look, not saying that was right. He's going to be probably found guilty or get a plea on this. You know, she's just out of jail. He's supposed to be her ex. She's naked in the apartment, his home, doing things he doesn't approve of. She runs out. It's just so much of this stuff is not the way it's often portrayed. It's people who simply live their lives in an absolute sewage pit of sin and swim in it every day. And you know what? Your life ends up being like this if that's how you choose to leave it. I thought this story was interesting from that standpoint. You will become like those you hang around, you spend most of your time with, folks. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.